today as we come to the table.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. Notice verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Guys, what did God tell Noah? Be fruitful and multiply. The Lord has given us the same commission that he gave to Adam and Eve and that he gave to Noah and his family when they came off the ark. Only different wording is used.
When you're trying to grow an apple tree, what's the first thing you need to do? That's right. You must plant the seed. You have to take action based on faith that when you plant that seed, it will grow. As Pastor Mark shares today, that's why you should share the gospel so it will grow and multiply in this world. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God created you to be fruitful and multiply, not just in having children and growing a family, but growing the family of God by sharing the good news of the gospel. And when you do, you'll live out your true purpose in this world. You'll be co-laboring with God to save a world in need of a Savior. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 9, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
He got in his boat and he went back to the other side. Why is that? Not because God didn't love those in Gadara. It's simply because the Lord Jesus Christ will not force himself on anyone, but he will say this, I offer you forgiveness. I offer you my help. I offer you my hope. And if you will invite me in, I will come. I stand at the door and knock. And for all who will receive, I will come in and sup with them and them with me. That not only appeals to the or applies to the individual, it also applies to the society. It applies to the nation. And you see, as we're saying to God, we don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our schools. Now, I know the church is not saying this. So I'm not chastising the church. I'm simply educating the church so that we might make known the word of God and what the problem is, that the society might have ears to hear. But listen to me on this. If we say to God, get out of our schools, Satan will be happy to come in and fill the void. And that is exactly what we are seeing today. We've said, God, we don't want you. Satan said, great, I guess I'm welcome now. And we've invited him right in the door. And whenever you invite Satan in the door, you're going to have death and destruction. The Bible says he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And now we've brought this, we've sown to the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. So we, as a society, we need to repent. Our job as the church is to let them know that. God has a hope for America. God will restore America. He will bring safety back to our schools. God will bring sanity back to our government. God will bring joy back into lives that have been broken if we'll invite Jesus Christ in. But he's not going to force his way in. He simply says, church, go out there and be my ambassadors. Tell the world about me. And if they receive me, I'll do that for them. Be fruitful and multiply. Notice verse 2, it says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth. Now he comes to this second, or rather the first amendment here. Notice on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all of the fish of the sea, they are given into your hand. Now we come to what I will call again the first amendment of God's covenant with man and the planet. Notice this. God declares that animals will fear us, and we are to have dominion over them as they are given into our hand. So first notice that the animals will fear man. Now they apparently didn't fear man prior to this. This is a new thing that God is saying. I'm going to put a fear in the heart of animals that's going to be of you, but it wasn't there before. Now, why? It didn't need to be there. Remember, before sin entered the world, the animals were gentle. They grazed. They also were not meat eaters until after the fall and after the flood. But now imagine this. There's only 8 people remaining on the earth. They all get off of the ark, and suddenly mankind is now a meat eater, as God has changed the rules to some degree. But guess who else is a meat eater? The animals. And now suddenly you've got a bunch more meat eaters around you than you are a meat eater. And if they wanted to wipe you out, you would see the population of the world just destroyed, because there weren't but very few to start with. They could have easily overcome mankind and wiped them out. So I believe what God did, he put the fear of man in their heart to protect man. Now we know from time to time there are still attacks that take place when an animal is afraid or cornered or just because they're wild and because of the fall. But in general, animals stay in their environment. We stay in our environment, and the two, you know, cohabitate fairly well. This is part of God's design. This is how God has designed it. And so another aspect, though, of this amendment, notice, is that man was to have dominion over the animals as they had been given into his hand. Now, note this. This does not mean that we are to neglect or abuse animals. And I think that sometimes when we talk about man having dominion over the animals, the accusation comes against the Christian. Well, you just don't care for the environment. You don't care about animals. You don't. No, that's not it at all. As a matter of fact, the Lord said to tend the garden. He said, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to have a heart for the creation that God has created. And even in Proverbs 12:10, it says this, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Modern translation, godly people are nice to animals. Ungodly people will be mean to animals. Now, that's not always the case. As we know, there are those that are very ungodly and very promoting of saving the animals, even over man, so to speak. But he's talking about those that are righteous. The principle is they will be kind to animals. Now, we had just this past week our next-door neighbors go on vacation, and they asked, you know, us to watch their little dog. And they asked Lee Ellie to kind of keep an eye on their little dog. And it's a cute little thing. I mean, this little, I think it's like a fox terrier is what it was. Its name was Little Lord Fauntleroy. So you can imagine, you know, you just kind of picture that in your mind. That's pretty much described. But it's one of those just, you know, jumping and happy and excited, whoo, all over the place type dogs. Cute little guy. And a couple days ago, we go down there to check on him, and all of a sudden, he's really sick. And the greatest fear you can ever imagine comes over. See, he's throwing up, he's laying down, and there's this thing of going, we're watching the neighbor's dog. You know, one of the greatest fears is watch the neighbor's dog and come home and he's dead. You know, right? Thanks a lot. You know, appreciate the care of our pup, you know? And so you're thinking, man, this is not good. But even over the fact of being worried about taking care of someone else's dog and it dying. By the way, the dog's doing okay. The dog, because somebody asked me this, you never told us what happened. He's doing great. But the bottom line is, the greater than worrying about what they thought about their, you know, about their little dog being sick was just the care of this little one. There was in the heart, there's this natural thing saying, Lord, you know, we prayed for him. Heal him, Lord. You just have a natural care. So there's a natural desire to take care of the creatures that God has created. So when God says we have preeminence over them, it doesn't mean we don't love them and take care of them and watch over them. What he's saying is this, and this is important for God's structure foundationally for mankind, and that is man has preeminence and greater importance than animals. Now you would think that's a given. You would think that we just grasp that and we'd say, yes, that makes sense. Man is, of course, greater than animals. But that is not always the case in our society today. There are people today that put greater stock in the animals than mankind. And again, it's amazing. In America, it's legal to kill a human baby while still in the stomach. But note this, it is illegal to kill a baby lobster in the stomach of its mother. Now, do you see the great hypocrisy? Now, how does something like that happen? How does mankind go so far from the realization of right and wrong that they allow mankind to kill each other? But when it comes to animals, what do? They protect them even greater than mankind. I do believe in protecting the animals, but not over mankind. Mankind is held in higher esteem in God's economy and in God's value. And so, again, issues like this are not political issues. They are biblical issues. And the Bible says we as believers must speak out for those that are defenseless and to speak for them because they can't speak for themselves. Let me say this, and I may have mentioned this already, but the reason I say that is after 3 services, sometimes I forget what I've already said and hadn't said. But I want to be real sensitive on this issue, and that is this. A lot of us in this room have all done different sins. And so whenever we come across something like this and we talk about, you know, God saying we need to speak out against it, and we do need to, and we need to be vocal, if we find ourselves in that place, we also need to know that God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. And as we bring our sins to the Lord and ask forgiveness, he not only forgives, he heals. and he restores. And that's the God that we serve, a healing and restoring God. So the point of bringing that up is not to pick on those that maybe even have that sin in their background. The point is to say, listen, God is making a mandate here, and he's saying people are more important than animals. And if mankind does not keep that straight foundationally, it's actually going to get to the point where man puts animals over man. And that is exactly the place we're in today, because we've turned our back on God. The Bible says when we do that as a society, then we start lifting up the creature rather than the creator. And so the main point of this amendment is this: although we are to respect and take care of the animals of the earth, both animals and earth have been given into man's hand by God to use for the resources they need to survive. God has said that it's okay now to eat animals. It's okay now to use the resources of the earth. That's what the resources are there for. Now, we need to use wisdom in that, but it's still been given to us. And again, if these things were understood, a lot of the political issues would disappear. Well, at least in theory, probably not from heart, but in theory. Notice he goes on and says in verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Seems like everything would be nervous around him. But no, this guy, what's that? But he says, I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. So the point is, now you're not only a vegetarian, now you can also partake in meat and all that. And so I want you to know this. There are those today that carry around the signs, again, another political issue, and they carry around the signs, saying you're a murderer if you eat animals. And just, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God has given us the earth and the resources we need to survive. Now, I do believe that senseless killing of animals and those that would hunt them down and not use the meat or be responsible, I think that's wrong. And I think that's irresponsible. But again, the Bible says that God has given us the animals, if you will, for our food. And I have to admit, I definitely enjoy that. I mean, I do like, a good steamed broccoli, but I like it right next to my steak. God says that's okay. Don't feel bad about that. God did it. It is ordained of the Lord. And so again, as we see these foundational things put into place, as God reestablishes his covenant, his agreement with man, his commission with man, what is interesting to me as we finish today is that God has also given the church a commission that is amazingly similar to this one. And this is where I want to end today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to be looking at verse 18. Again, you remember the setting. Jesus has died, he has resurrected, and now he's leaving the earth and he's going to give his final instructions to his disciples of what they're supposed to do. And so as he does this, he is going to give them what we call the Great Commission. Even as God gave a commission to Adam and Eve in the garden, even as God gave a commission to Noah and his family as they came off the ark, Jesus is now giving a commission to the believers in Jesus Christ of what we are supposed to do. And again, it is just like Noah's. Notice this. He says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so notice this, first of all, even as God showing his authority in the Garden of Eden and his authority with Adam and Eve to telling them to subdue the earth and all these things that God had given them mandate, it says here that Jesus said rather, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. And notice his instruction, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. Notice verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Guys, what did God tell Noah? Be fruitful and multiply. The Lord has given us the same commission that he gave to Adam and Eve and that he gave to Noah and his family when they came off the ark. Only different wording is used. What is Jesus saying here? Be fruitful and multiply. Go among the nations and make converts. Being fruitful for the Lord, if you will, in our lives for Jesus Christ, multiplying by sharing our faith. It's a spiritual application here. And so, yes, there was a literal application in Genesis, but now Jesus takes the same thing and gives it a spiritual application as to what the church is to do. We now have a new life. You know, when you came to the Lord, it's like coming off the ark for the first time. You remember what it's like? I'll never forget when I came to the Lord. Suddenly I smelled, the coffee, so to speak. I mean, I heard the birds singing. I instead of just like, coffee, there was, flavored coffees. And instead of just socks, I found they had different colors. I mean, now, this is not amazing to women. But for a single guy, this is a big thing. The bottom line is, life had a whole new meaning. I began to see that my senses came alive. It seemed that suddenly I just was, this new world had opened up for me. And when they came off the ark, there was this new world waiting, and God with a new commission saying, go get them. You see now what your God is like. Now you go tell others. And Jesus has said to us, you have seen what I am like in giving you new life. Now go and be fruitful and multiply. You know, it's interesting. There's two ways to do this when it comes to encouraging you to share your faith. And that's what I'm doing right now. I am encouraging you to hear the mandate of Jesus Christ and to share your faith. You know, again, no matter where you are, be praying for God. Say, God, open doors that I can share, and God will begin to open doors for you to share. So this is part of the great commission that God has given us into going and to sharing our faith and to sharing the gospel. But again, as we go and we share our faith and we share the gospel, you know, we have to understand, wait a minute, not only are we supposed to do it, but how do we do it? You know, and there's two ways to handle this. One is I can make you feel really bad and really guilty. And I think sometimes this happens. Sometimes we tend to, I think pastors can tend to kind of, you know, beat the sheep, okay? And it goes something like this, you know, you need to be sharing Jesus more. Who did you invite to church this week? Did you invite anybody to church? Did you share Jesus with one person this week? You should be ashamed of yourself. We're called to go into all the world, right? But guys, I believe that sheep that are beat are going to be weak. I believe sheep that are fed and loved will be strong. And here's the interesting thing about well-fed sheep. They naturally multiply. It's a natural thing. So here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying go out and share because you're guilty or you feel bad. I'm saying you have the privilege, the honor of getting to go out and share Jesus with people around you and the world around you. The Great Commission. It's something that's a joy to do. Now, with that said, Mark, how do I do that? You know, the Bible just says, open your mouth and God will fill it. He says, just start speaking. Open it up. Pray for an opportunity. Look for a way to reach them and let it take place. God will be faithful to give you the words that you need. But more than the words that you need this morning, what I want to do is share with you the power that must be in place if you're going to be able to do it. You see, the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, but he didn't say it without the power. He told his disciples, remember they had received him. They were now saved. The Bible says he resurrected. He came to them in the upper room, and it says he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. The word there is lambano in the Greek, and it's a command. It's in the command form. He was commanding them as he breathed on them to now receive the Holy Spirit, which was now given after the resurrection. Prior to that, no one could be inhabited with the Holy Spirit. After the resurrection, now all of us can be inhabited. Remember, Jesus said, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit won't be sin, you know, the comforter. And so now we have him indwelling in us. So here's what happens. When you give your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit moves inside. Now you're saved. That's what happened to the disciples in the upper room. But it's interesting, after that took place, Jesus said to this, now go nowhere. Wait a minute. But they said to go all in the world and preach the gospel. Well, I did. But don't go anywhere until, he said, you are endued with power from on high. He says in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and the outermost reaches of the world. The point is this. These guys had just finished the best seminary the world had to offer. It was Jesus University, one-on-one training for 3 years. And he said, you're not ready. What do you mean we're not ready? We're ready. No, you're not. Stay here until you receive power from on high by the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? Remember, as the power came, and by the way, if they weren't ready without the power of God, who are we? You say, well, I have trouble sharing. I don't have the boldness. No, you need the boldness. You need to pray for God to come upon you with his Spirit and to endue you with power from on high, to fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can share. Remember Peter. Here's Peter. He's already saved. He's received the Holy Spirit from Christ. He's hiding in the upper room after the Lord has gone back in the ascension. And why is he hiding with the other disciples? Because he's afraid. He's afraid they're going to find out he's a follower of Jesus. And if they find out he's a follower of Jesus, they're going to persecute him. Who knows what could happen in that day, maybe even put to death. And then suddenly, remember the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out? It came upon them. And what happened? Suddenly, Peter stood up with a new boldness that he had never had. The fear was gone, and now great boldness was in its place. And Peter stood up, and to the very people that crucified Christ, he said, you're the guilty ones. You're the ones that put him to death. You need to repent, and if you will, Jesus Christ will forgive you and give you refreshment and new life. That's a summation. What happened to Pete? What happened? Why was he scared one moment before hiding from the Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities? And the very next moment after he received power from on high, he was standing up and preaching to them. Guys, I submit to you that that is the tool that we must have to be the witnesses the Lord has called us to be. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying today? Here's what I'm saying. As we finish today, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the Lord never calls us to dig a ditch without giving us a shovel. What is our shovel? The power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I've got a job for you to do. Now here's the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. But you need to ask this morning. And maybe some of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you need to be filled again this morning. It says in Ephesians 5:18, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, that's what it means there in the Greek, to be continually being filled. Some of you may have not had the Holy Spirit come upon you in power ever. And so this morning, God wants to do that. He wants to give you power so that you can be his witnesses and go into all the world and preach the gospel. And maybe you say, well, I feel like Peter before that event. I just want to hide and I'm scared and I don't want to do anything. And God is saying, I want to empower you so not only will you not be like Peter who was hiding, but you'll be like Peter who was standing up and sharing the gospel. So the Lord's not going to call us to do anything he doesn't give us the power to do. And this morning, I want to ask him to do that. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us truly a great commission. And it is an honor and it is a blessing to be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to lift up your name and to share with those around us your goodness. But Lord, we oftentimes find ourselves like Peter. And that is, although we know the truth and although we know you, we're afraid to share. Lord, you have given us power so that we have the ability to share. And this morning, I just pray that you would pour out your Spirit fresh on the believers that have received your power, that they would be filled again with a new, refreshing filling of the Spirit. And God, for those that have never really been empowered to do your work at all, Lord, that they would ask now for you to come upon them with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, your word says all we have to do is ask and then take a step of faith and receive it by faith. And so this morning, Lord, we come before your throne as your children who have been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, admitting our fear, admitting our inability, and saying, Lord, we want to do what you've called us to do, but we need your power. So right now we ask by faith that you would come upon us in this room and that you would empower us to be your witnesses here in Knoxville, the surrounding region, and Lord, as we head out into the outermost parts of the world there as well. And we receive it by faith. Come upon us, Lord. Show yourself strong on our behalf that we might bring you glory and be fruitful and multiply. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.